Today we're going to look at one of the last miracles of Jesus, and so the heading for our sermon today is "For the Glory of God, the Raising of Lazarus." So you will have guessed that our miracle today is Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. So today we're going to look at the miracle of Jesus where he raises Lazarus from the dead. This is the seventh miracle of Jesus recorded in the book of John. There is one other miracle, an eighth miracle that Jesus performs. That's when he restores the ear of the priest's slave that was cut off by Peter during the arrest of Jesus. So the miracle of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead happened shortly before his crucifixion. This miracle was the final straw for the religious leaders. The religious leaders become absolutely enraged as they see many people coming to believe in Jesus following this miracle. If you read the verses that follow on from the raising of Lazarus, you'll see the religious leaders getting together to plan how they would put Jesus to death. So this is an important miracle, and I just want to pray as we start to read the verses about this miracle. Father God, thank you that we can be here together in peace, in freedom, to read from your word, the Bible. Help us to have open ears and hearts as we listen to what you would say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So John chapter 11 is a long chapter. And the account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead takes up a significant part of the chapter. So I want you, if you've got your paper Bibles, to open those, or your electronic Bible, because we're going to read along, and it'll be on the screen if you haven't got your Bible with you. But buckle in, because it's quite a long reading that we're going to have this morning. Let's begin. John chapter 11, verses 1 through to 45. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick, so the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is sick." But when Jesus heard about it, he said, "Lazarus's sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this." So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." Sorry, just lost my place. Finally, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." But his disciples objected. "Rabbi," they said, "only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again?" Jesus replied, "There are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night there is danger of stumbling because they have no light." Then he said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up." The disciples said, "Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better." They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I am glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let us see him." Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let's go too and die with Jesus." When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Mary, Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die, will never ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, "The teacher is here and he wants to see you." So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked them. They told him, "Lord, come and see." Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him." But some said, "This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. "Roll the stone away, aside," Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. I want to just take a couple of moments to set the scene for you. I need to acknowledge that some of the historical information and some of the thoughts I share with you this morning have been provided by Grace to You site from John MacArthur. So I want to show you a map that will hopefully help you understand the places and the times and the conversations that went on as John the Apostle records here. Now, if you go back into chapter 10, the previous chapter, verse 22, we have Jesus and his disciples in Jerusalem. In verse 33, the people want to stone Jesus for what they believe to be blasphemy. That was Jesus claiming to be God. In verse 39, it says that they tried to arrest him, but Jesus and his disciples escape across the Jordan River to where John the Baptist had been baptizing. John records this location in chapter 1, verse 28, in this verse. This encounter took place in Bethany, an area east of the Jordan River where John was baptizing. So Jesus and his disciples are in a place called Bethany, east of the Jordan. In today's text, chapter 11, verse 1, we read that Mary and Martha and Lazarus live in a town called Bethany. However, this is not the Bethany where Jesus and his disciples are staying. The Bethany where Mary, Martha and Lazarus live is close to Jerusalem. The distance between that Bethany and where Mary, Martha and Lazarus live is a short walk of about 3 to 4 kilometres. However, the distance between the two Bethanies is about 30 kilometres, and so it's about one day's walk. Mary and Martha and Lazarus are obviously well known to Jesus and his disciples. In fact, it appears they were very good friends. In verse 3, Mary and Martha send the message to Jesus and they say, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." In verses 5 and 6, they record that although Jesus loved Martha, Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. In verse 11, Jesus says to his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep." And then as Jesus weeps outside the tomb of Lazarus, the people say in verse 36, "See how much he loved him." We also have the record of Jesus and his disciples eating in the house, in the home of Mary, Martha and Lazarus, recorded in Luke chapter 10. So this miracle of Jesus happens to a family that Jesus knows well and to a man that he loves as a friend. To avoid confusion in the story this morning too, this Lazarus is not the same Lazarus in the parable of Jesus, where Jesus talks about the rich man in hell who looks up and asks Abraham to send the poor man Lazarus to warn his brothers to avoid ending up in hell. That's just a parable by Jesus and is not a real person, so don't get confused between the two. So what can we learn from the miracle that we've read this morning? And I want to start by saying, I think we see in this the divine nature of Jesus is on display. Jesus has raised 2 other people back to life prior to the raising of Lazarus: the widow's son in Luke chapter 7 and Jairus' daughter in Luke chapter 8. So what is so different about this miracle of Jesus as he raises Lazarus from the dead? There are at least 2 reasons that I want to talk about. Firstly, the sickness of Lazarus, and secondly, the length of time that Lazarus is in the tomb. So firstly, we don't know what the sickness was that Lazarus had that caused him to die. But Jesus tells exactly why he is sick in chapter 11, verse 4. And it says this: "But when Jesus heard about it, he said, 'Lazarus's sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, that the Son of God will receive glory from this.'" Jesus makes it clear that Lazarus is sick for one reason and one reason only. It is for the glory of God. The sickness that causes the death of Lazarus is so that the glory of God will be displayed in Jesus. Jesus will receive glory as God's only Son through this miracle. People will see that Jesus is who he claimed to be, the Son of God, and the outcome that Jesus desires is that people will become to believe in him. Jesus, knowing that he will raise Lazarus back to life, tells his disciples that Lazarus has fallen asleep. This term has been used by Jesus before about Jairus' daughter. This causes confusion for the disciples, who think Lazarus is only sleeping and will recover once he wakes up. So Jesus has to clearly say to his disciples that Lazarus is truly dead. In verse 14, he says this: "So he told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead.'" And in verse 15, Jesus says, "And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe." Although the disciples ate, slept, and lived alongside Jesus for 3 years, their belief in who he was seemed to come and go. They could witness the supernatural miracles of Jesus and still have doubts about who he really was. So it is important to Jesus that his disciples grow in their belief of who he truly is. Jesus knows that once he has gone back to heaven, the disciples are going to be his representatives in the world. They are going to suffer for what they believe. All but John will die for their faith. Living the life God has planned for them was going to need absolute belief in who he was. And the second point, why is it so important that Jesus waits 2 days so that Lazarus is in the tomb for 4 days? Jewish custom was not to embalm the bodies of those who had died. So burials generally happened very soon after death and often on the same day. One of the Jewish beliefs at the time was that a person's soul could remain in this material world after death. They believed that their soul could re-enter a body until the body from which it had come had decomposed. Then it would depart from this world. While the religious leaders could discredit the miracles of Jesus raising the widow's son and Jairus' daughter by saying their souls had re-entered their body, the decomposition of Lazarus after 4 days removed that argument. When Jesus asked them to roll back the stone, Martha protests, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." There was no doubt about the fact that Lazarus was dead. The resurrection of someone dead 4 days was proof that Jesus was who he claimed to be. Only God could give life to someone truly dead. Therefore, Jesus must be God. There is a great declaration from Martha as to who she believes Jesus is, as Jesus talks to her about raising Lazarus. In verse 25 and 26, Jesus says this about himself. Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha?" Martha responds in verse 27, "Yes, Lord," she told him, "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." Martha has got it. She believes that Jesus is who he claims to be, the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. She believes that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. She believes that anyone who believes in Jesus will live even after dying. She believes that God will raise Lazarus to life at the end of the age, but she still seems to lack the belief that Jesus will raise her brother back to life right then. So this miracle puts the divine nature of Jesus on display. Jesus is who he claims to be, the only Son of God, the resurrection and the life. Jesus has power over death. The second thing I think we see here is the humanity of Jesus is on display. We have seen that Jesus is well known to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We read about his love for Lazarus, expressed by himself and seen by others. So we see both divine love and human love expressed by Jesus in the text we read. Jesus is both God and man, a divine being and a human being in one earthly body. That is what made the religious leaders so angry. They only saw Jesus in his humanity. They could not accept that he was God in human flesh. The text records Jesus showing two strong and opposite emotions. Jesus is angry and Jesus weeps. Mary comes out to meet Jesus. She is weeping and surrounded by a large group of people who are wailing. In verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him and he was deeply troubled. At first reading, this appears to be an unusual response from Jesus. What was it that made him angry? And there are several thoughts that are given here by scholars. One thought is that Jesus is angry about sin in the world that brings both physical and spiritual death. Another thought is that Jesus is angry about the unbelief of the people. He has done countless miracles. He has told them many times who he really is, but many still do not believe. Then we read this verse in verse 34 and 35, where Jesus says, "Where have you put him?" he asked. They told him, "Lord, come and see." Then Jesus wept. The humanity of Jesus is on display. His friend Lazarus is dead. His friends Mary and Martha are upset and weeping. There will be others amongst the group who are genuinely weeping at the loss of their friend Lazarus, and not just professional wailers as required by Jewish tradition. Jesus weeps. He has a human sadness for his loved friends, but I think there is a greater sadness as he considers the death and separation from God for those who do not believe in him. And these are the two thoughts, as I come to an end, these are the two thoughts that I want to leave with you. In this miracle, Jesus desires that people believe in him. As we have gone through this teaching series on the miracles of Jesus, Jeremy has said a number of times that the miracles tell us about God's salvation. Remember what Jesus said in verse 4. The death of Lazarus happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. Jesus receives glory when people believe in him. When they believe he is who he claims to be. When they accept the salvation that he freely offers. In the text of Jesus raising Lazarus, the word believe or believes or believed is used 8 times in those verses that we read. In verse 26, Jesus says to Martha, "Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never ever die." Do you believe this, Martha? In chapter 20 of John, verse 30 and 31, the Apostle John says this, "The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him you will have life by the power of his name." I would challenge you with the same question that Jesus asked Martha. "Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" That's the challenge that Jesus gave. And the second thing I want to leave with you is expect the unexpected. Although Martha knew Jesus, Jesus was who he claimed to be, the resurrection and life, it appears she wasn't expecting Jesus to raise Lazarus right there, right then. She believed that Lazarus would rise at the end of the age, but protested when Jesus told them to roll the stone away. Although Martha and Mary and some of the others present believed Jesus could raise Lazarus, it appears they weren't really expecting it to happen. Do we sometimes miss out on seeing God do miracles in our lives because we're not expecting them? Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, and I'm going to read it from the Message Bible. "God can do anything, you know, far more than you can ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us." That's really the end for today. So I hope you've got something from that. And I'll just pray as we close. Father God, we really want to thank you for this record of when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. It tells you so much. It tells us so much about you, your love for us, your power, about your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we have worked through these verses and read these verses and learnt a little bit this morning, we want to bring you glory because you are the great and awesome God who loves us and cares for us and has provided salvation for us. And so we thank you that we can come today and give the glory back to you and glory to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for all he's done. In Jesus' name, amen.